May what I say and what you hear be in accord with the will of God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Amen. Last Thursday, Danny phoned to let me know that Vicky, his wife, had died the previous evening. Vicky, a friend I'd known for 40 years and godmother to my son, a remarkable woman. How do we cope with such news? As chaplain to a Marie Curie hospice, I'm responsible for the spiritual and religious care of people of all faiths and beliefs, and am regularly faced with tough questions. Jan, much like Vicky in her early 60s, probably won't see next Christmas. Last week she asked me whether I was frightened of death. Again last week, Rachel flew into London to be with her father, who is dying. She wanted to know what happens after you die. Today is the beginning of Passion Tide, redirecting our attention from penitence to contemplation as we focus on the passion of Jesus, his suffering and his dying. And Passion Tide begins with a death, the death of Lazarus. From the gospel reading we heard a moment ago, there are specific events. Mary and Martha have sent a message to Jesus. Lazarus is ill. Jesus ignores their plea for help, as it's 2 days before he sets out for Bethany. Instead, he uses the time to talk in riddles with his disciples, leaving them confused. Then, as Jesus approaches Bethany, he encounters Martha, and they talk at cross purposes. Martha is then joined by her sister Mary, and they go to the tomb. Only then does Jesus raise Lazarus. Given all that preamble, the story then ends abruptly. Lazarus may be back from the dead, but he remains as silent as the dead. He says nothing. And that's because Lazarus is nothing more than a demonstration. By raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus demonstrates 2 things about himself. First, Jesus reveals who he is. Despite all the misunderstandings that have gone on before, for if you scratch below the surface of this story, you'll find a narrative of uncertainty, anxiety, and confusion. The disciples didn't realize that Lazarus was dead. Thomas thought that by going to Bethany, close to Jerusalem, Jesus would meet his death. Martha misunderstood Jesus when he promised, "Your brother will rise again." And the Jews following Mary thought wrongly she was off to the tomb. The episode is a medley of misunderstanding and confusion, and it is into this that Jesus injects clarity and certainty about who he is. Think back to what Jesus said. "This is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" And of course, Martha makes that profound declaration, much like Peter did. You are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. Before we're back to Jesus, who, almost as a stage whisper, addresses his Father, I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me. In this episode, we glimpse who Jesus really is. I am from God. I and my Father are one. And once we acknowledge this, like Martha, it shapes what Jesus can do. Yes, secondly, what Jesus can do. He brings life from death. He transforms the worst, the darkest situation into one of light and hope. Imagine that you are a witness to this episode. Lazarus is dead. He's been in the tomb 4 days. You, as a Jew, believe that the soul stays with the body for 3 days and then departs, leaving the body to decompose. Jesus, there is a stench. Things couldn't be worse. Lazarus is dead. Jesus had turned up too late. Nothing could be done. For Martha and Mary, the only crumb of comfort was their hope of eventual resurrection on that last day. But Jesus contradicts all of this. Hope for the dead, and for that matter the living, is not some remote and distant promise of eventual reunion. It is a present reality, available in the here and the now. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Outrageously, Jesus claims that he can rescue any and every situation, no matter how dire, that he has the power to bring life from death and so defeat death itself. In the hopeless situation which confronts Martha, Mary, and yes, Jan and Rachel, he calls Lazarus out of the tomb. Covered in strips of linen and with a cloth around his face, Lazarus was probably just as startled as his mourners. The raising of Lazarus, however, is not only a foretaste of what you and I can expect, it is a reality for the here and now. Jesus can take the most desperate situation, death itself, and transform it into life. The raising of Lazarus is our sign of what Jesus can do in everybody's life. For Jesus, who raised Lazarus from the dead, no situation, but no situation is too desperate. The Lazarus story not only speaks to you and me this morning, it demands our attention. Just as Jesus called Lazarus out of the dark cave and ordered him to be unbound, there's a question for you and for me. It's this: what is binding you and me and preventing us from experiencing new life? What are the obstacles that come between us and life, between us and God? Could it be a broken relationship, betrayal within a relationship, or tyranny within a relationship? Could it be our attitudes, prejudices, or discriminatory behaviors which deny the values which underpin God's reign? Could it be those idols of possessions, wealth, and status? Why on earth did Jesus weep? He knew what he was going to do, raise Lazarus from the dead. Could they have been his tears for those who would never be able to embrace God's reign and make the leap of faith? If so, for them, for us, Jesus still weeps. This morning, Jesus calls you and me out of our dark caves, out of our tombs. But many of us are still bound, unable to take the risk of new life. What binds you? What binds me? Are we ready to be unbound? And for that matter, unbound from what? Amen.